Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not... G'day, listeners, and welcome to the 2025 Royal Ascot, or Ascot, as they say, over in Europe preview for this year. I've got Stu joining me on the line tonight. Stu actually messaged on the weekend and said, who wants to jump on and do a Royal Ascot preview? And I thought, beautiful, I'll join in on his Wolf Den preview. And sounds like we might be doing it for racing previews as well.
Yeah, except Bot and Nico are no shows.
Yeah. No, you won't get them to do a Monday podcast too often, especially Nico. Sometimes you'll get Bot on for a review, but no.
He should be on. We'll get onto it later, but he's tipped a horse that's running that he reckons is going to win the Arc, so he should be on.
I wouldn't say – would you say he reckons going to win the Arc or reckon it could win the Arc?
Oh, whatever he said. He reckons it could win the Arc.
Yeah, we probably just need to go back and see exactly what he said, but – we're not going to pretend that we know exactly what we're talking about here. It's more just a bit of light content. We'll go through 8 races, 3 on day one, a few throughout the week, and then we round out with a big Saturday. But Royal Ascot, dating back to 2022, Struber, good memories coming out of COVID, and it brought a lot of us together.
Yeah, it did. As we were coming in, we spoke about that, didn't we? Yeah. That's when we all started to hook up, and Racing Previews was just launching, and I don't even think Bot was on then. I think it was just you and Nico.
Yeah, I think so. I reckon we sent out a Zoom link, and we all watched Nature Strip get the chocolates together, and I don't think I'll ever forget that.
No, that was awesome. I think there's about maybe like 10 or 15 of us.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute fill up that carnival, because we had Nature Strip piss in, but then remember we all backed State of Rest as well. There was a few others. I can't remember all their names, but punting-wise, like, we cleaned up throughout the whole carnival.
No, it was simpler times, put it that way.
Say that again.
All right, let's not mess around. We'll get straight into things. Ascot, good weather up there, 24, 23 degrees. Track manager has come out and said good to firm ground. So I'm guessing that's good four, good three sort of surface. So we're betting on dry ground, which is going to be interesting because a lot of the form lines are coming from Paris, where they've had very wet tracks. Some horses are going to love it and some aren't. So, yep, no rain for Ascot this year. Race one, Struber, is the best start to any carnival in the world.
It's fucking sick.
It's the best. It's quite unique. The Queen Anne over a mile. It's 11:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And as said, this is the premier 1600-meter race for the carnival. Rosalian is the $3.30 favorite with the tab from Dancing Gemini, $6, as well as lead artists. Notable Speech is $7. Sardinian Warrior seen some good support into $7.50. Diego Velazquez is $12. So is Lake Forest. Carl Spackler races in the Yulon colors, now trained by Kieran Maher, bought from America. James McDonald to ride is $16. And Docklands is $19. I've read a lot out there, but obviously there are quite a few who have some Australian interest, both past and sort of emerging. What were your thoughts on the race?
So as you're just going through, if no one knows a lot of those horses, like they are all genuine weapons. Like you could make a case for all of them if you deep dive their form lines. But you know the one I'm most keen on. So I tipped this into Racing Previews chat, into your chat, and I said, make sure you have something on this thing in the Golden Eagle. Haggis first up off the plane, auto bet, and it lobbed at 30s. And you look at the form of the Golden Eagle, and it is that like the world's best ever form race, Benny?
Cox Plate's pretty good too, usually.
The amount of winners, yeah, well, that's true. But the amount of winners and group ones and group horses and stakes winners that have come out of that Golden Eagle is just retarded. So I was real keen on Lake Forest first up because he was obviously the winner of the Golden Eagle. And he was a little bit disappointing on face value, but then go back and look at it and also watch what Haggis said. And he apparently cannot go a yard on any sort of rain-affected track, and it was rain-affected that night. So now here we go. We've got a firm deck. So I sent it out on the Den when I saw the markets at $34. So I'm locked in at 34s. He's now 12. I think he's going to jump somewhere between 10 and 15. But given the track's going to be firm, I'm super keen to be with Lake Forest. I thought the favourite was a little bit disappointing first up. I don't know what you thought of Rosalian first up.
I'll get to him in a sec, yep.
Yeah. And then, look, I know you sort of got a little bit of keen and interest about this Carl Spackler, so I've had a little play on it at about 20s, so I'll let you talk about that. But I just don't know how the American horses go at Royal Ascot. There was that sprinter, was it against Nature Strip? There was an American sprinter who was going to be an absolute world beater. I reckon it might have been against Nature Strip.
Yes, I've heard it. You'd have to look it up, but... There has been some good ones in the past, though.
I think it jumped equal favourite or almost favourite against Nature Strip, and it was the first horse beaten. It went backwards. Yeah. So I just don't know about the American horse there. And then I know you're also keen on another one, which I'll let you talk about. But Notable Speech is probably what I think is probably my biggest danger. Guineas winner last year. So, yeah, but I'm keen. Lake Forest at 30s, I think, is a great each-way bet.
Yeah. Very interesting race. So with the Queen Anne, it is the straight mile. At Ascot, they've got the straight mile and the round mile. So that is that's just one thing to note. Four of these come through the lockings where there was only 2.5 lengths separating first to fourth, and it was actually the outside pair of lead artist and Dancing Gemini who pulled away from Rosalian and Notable Speech. Rosalian did start favorite there, and I can see why he's favorite again, because you would imagine he had 11 months off the scene. So I think he probably just was in the need of a run there. I think he will improve off that, and I can see why he is favorite. So he won't be going around a loser for me, but a couple of horses I've backed at big odds. Sardinian Warrior backed at $15 all in. This is a horse who beat Docklands down the Ascot straight a couple starts back, and then he ran second to Sosie over in France last start. So I think he's a horse who has really come back better this preparation. Made Sosie really work last time to win at Longchamp, and I think that was 1,800 metres. So I think the step back to the mile is in his favour. He'll go forward. Carl Spackler, his big win in the Group 1 last start in America actually rated 124 on Racing Post. So that's a pretty big figure. To put that into context,
big number.
Antino's Racing Post figure in the Doomben Cup was also 124. And VS Sestina's Queen Elizabeth Racing Post figure was 125. So, look, Racing Post ratings aren't everything, but they're not a bad little guide. And that last start win was massive. So, I've had something small on him. He's out to 20-1. And also Docklands, who can never run a bad race here. He's had 6 runs track and trip, 2 wins, and 4 placings. So, he's never run out of the money. He ran second to Sharon in this race last year. Sharon was much too good, but it was still a very good run and there was a big gap to third. So I think there's quite a bit of value around. Of the top four, I would hope Rosalian turns the tables on some of them. He is the best horse in the race. He did win the St. James Palace last year, which is the round mile, and he's a deserved favourite. But, yeah, there's a bit of value if you shop around. I do also have your $34 for Lake Forest, but I've only got a small bet on him because I can only get on to win 500 with Ladbrokes.
Do you give him much of a chance now that we know it's going to be a firm track?
I think he'll improve off last time. He ran on the same night as Sardinian Warrior and Sosi that night at Longchamp in Paris. And things probably didn't work out, but I think the thing that is still a little bit of a query is the end of 1600 meters for him. Whether he's just better suited 14, 15, I'm not sure yet. But there's nothing to say that he won't. But he hasn't ran out a mile just yet, but hasn't had a crack at it.
Yeah, it's a cracking race. So hot for an opening race. Just superstar weapon horses everywhere you look. And I've just Googled it. So that American sprinter was Golden Power.
Golden Pal, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it started favourite or equal favourite.
Yeah.
And that American thing, and it went backwards.
Well, I'm not sure if you remember Lady Aurelia was another American sprinter, and she was one of the best.
Any good at Ascot, though?
Yeah. She won a King Stand back in 2017. So
yeah, right.
There you go. They backed it like it was Lady Aurelia. It wasn't.
Everyone's got a nice view of your phone on the camera.
Oh, sorry. I'm forgetting that we're doing the
YouTube.
Yeah, I forget that we're doing the YouTube on your account. But it won't be going up. It'll be audio only racing previews. Speaking of the King Stand, they now call it the King Charles III Stakes. As for her, $5. She is the defending champ from Believing 550 Night Raider. $6, Regional $7, Mahira is $9, Starlust $14, American Affair $17, and West Acre $17 as well. Stu, what were your thoughts in this race? It can be a race where you want to draw middle to outside, not dissimilar to the Flemington Straight. I thought this was real tricky.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to do here. Obviously the Australians have such a hot record at Royal Ascot, and we know Asfura won last start, but I saw her here in Adelaide. I think I saw her on that day. Can't remember, but it was when she got beat. Like, she won first up and then, you know, she got beat. So I don't really know what to do with her. I guess the two that interest me were Believing and Night Raider. They seem like the genuine sort of 1,000-meter sprinter types, but I also don't want to rule out Asfura. So it's probably a no-bet race for me. But, you know, you'd have Believing, Night Raider, and Asfura would be top three, but I'm not telling you anything the market's not telling us to, because they are sort of the most three fancied. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think Asfura is a little bit behind in terms of where Henry wants her to be right now. Yeah. He's openly said that her coat hasn't really come through yet, so she's still looking a little bit wintry, a little bit scruffy over there. And look, she's probably in for a 3-run campaign in Europe again, so there's every chance that she might not be peaking just yet. She might not need to, because a lot of these horses are, you know, they're no world beaters in terms of the international sprinting ranks. But another key thing to note is that he puts the blinkers on her here, third up. Like, I don't know if that just seems like slightly a bit of desperation. Mm. Often when trainers want to get a little bit more out of their horses and they're, you know, a little bit behind in their preparation, or they're not quite fit enough or where they want them to be, or they haven't travelled over as well, they do these little gear changes. And I don't know. She's $5 favourite. She can win. If you want to have a sentimental punt on her, then I wouldn't turn you off her. But, yeah, I'm just a little bit cautious. I don't think I'm going to be having too many bets in this race, if any. Believing is probably your number one pick, but she draws barrier one. So in Royal Ascot's gone by, sometimes that hasn't been the place to be. You've got a horse like Regional who is very limited. He's a seven-year-old gelding, but he's won a quarter of his starts. He's honest. He always runs, you know, top four, top five. Has drawn the grandstand rail out in 17. Did run second to Asfura in this race last year. West Acre is a very interesting horse. He is the Maidan Rocket, who was going around in those 1,000-meter races and you know, going around very short prices and winning easily. He started $4.60 behind Believing at Maidan last time, and that was over 1,200 meters, was in the wrong part of the track. So he's probably one that can bounce back at big odds. 1,200 meters didn't suit him either. So he's back to 1,000, and he draws the widest barrier of all in 23. So if I had to push something at a little bit of value, maybe it's West Acre.
Okay. The one I'm shattered who's not here is Storm Boy. And people are going to be like, did you see it first up? I'm like, yeah, I did. And he's a cat. I know he's a cat. But Aidan O'Brien, I don't know why, there is a little pattern and a habit of this where I tend to believe what he's saying, that he probably hasn't trained him much, galloped him heaps hard, wanted to take him to the races and see what he's like. And if you remember, City of Troy came out as a real short price favourite last year in the Guineas and flopped and was beaten out of sight. Very similar sort of performance to Storm Boy, and then he's come out and wins the Derby. So you're a brave man taking on Aidan O'Brien if you think he's talking smack, but we'll get onto it later. I don't give him much hope in the other race, but geez, he was nommed and he got out to sort of $15. Mm. And if he was here at 1,000, I would have had a piece of that 15s for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't really want any interest at 1,200 with him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But he was, at the same token, he might have been $15 because the market knew he wasn't coming here.
Yeah, knew he was coming out. But he
goes hand in hand.
Just the Aidan O'Brien factor, you know, you just like, even though he's in the race later on, I think he will improve.
Yeah. Now, the fact that he's trained by Aidan O'Brien and ridden by Ryan Moore, you're probably not going to get as big a price as you should based on his first up flop.
Yeah.
All right. Race four, and I think this is the race of the night because you've got all the Guineas winners coming here. It is the St. James Palace, of course, the three-year-old event over the mile. This is the round mile, not the straight mile, so that is very important to note. Field of Gold is $1.70, Ruling Court $4, and Henry Matisse is $4.80. So Field of Gold won the Irish Guineas. Ruling Court won in England and Henry Matisse won the French Guineas. So this is about as mouthwatering as it gets, all three lining up in the same race. It doesn't happen every year, but they do look the main three chances. I think Field of Gold is the best bet of the entire week. I thought two starts back when Ruling Court did beat him, Kieran Schumacher probably just waited a little bit too long. Field of Gold hit a little bit of a flat spot as well, and he was closing in on him on the line, only got beat a half length. What he has done since at the Curragh is improve his rating significantly, and I think with the pace setter here in the same Judmont colours in Windlord going forward, I think he might make a mess of them. Racing Post rating, I think he was 125 Ruling Court 122 and Henry Matisse 121. Ruling Court, it's worth noting that he was being prepped up for the Derby. So they weren't happy with the ground. He got scratched from the Derby, which is 2,400 metres, and he comes back to the mile. So that's interesting in itself, whether he's been trained in a different way to try and get that extended journey. Now he's coming back to 1,600 metres is going to be interesting. But I do think they're clearly the top two. Henry Matisse is my third pick. Could possibly cause the upset, but I just think that French form is a little bit weaker than the top two. So I'm very keen on Field of Gold. I've taken $1.80 and just about had my max bet. Stuber?
Yeah, well, I had this on the Den as a max bet last time. I think we got 225, Field of Gold. And yeah, it's a rocker, this thing. So I'm with you. It's one of the best bets at Royal Ascot. Again, I was on it last start, held it as a best bet on the Den, and I don't see any reason why we should jump off. And like you said, Ruling Court was going to be in the Derby. Has been pulled out, and Henry Matisse hasn't done anything as impressive as Field of Gold visually or on the numbers. So look, I think you just back Field of Gold and best horse wins, hopefully. If you want to, you can do a Benny Caluzzi special and save Exacta, maybe.
I still might do that.
Yeah, so Ruling Court and Henry Matisse, you could take both of them and Exacta with Field of Gold to run second, maybe.
Yeah.
Way to play it. But, I think he's one of the better bets, definitely Field of Gold. So I will be on again.
Yeah, and if you're not on any price yet, then look, when you're talking profit margins, you're probably not going to be able to exact a saver in this situation. But you know, if you're in the Den and you've taken $2.20 like Stu has, then potentially you can afford to do that. I've also got Jolly Star in the Kingsford Smith Cup into Field of Gold as well. So there's a little bit more juice for me to play with. All right, so that is night one done and dusted. It's always one of the better nights. Night one and the final night, Saturday night, are always probably the two best. Let's go over to the Prince of Wales's now. I'll just get the Bet365 prices up.
Yeah, while you're doing that, if you haven't actually sat down in front of your TV and watched Royal Ascot, it is just an amazing spectacle. Like, it's just the way they do the parade and the build-up to it and the horses and the track itself, like, yeah, just as a sporting fan, even if you're not a huge horse racing fan, it is one of the best sporting events on the world calendar for sure. I'd love to get over there one day.
Yeah. I should correct myself. This will be night three, Prince of Wales. All right, so favourite is Los Angeles, $2.87. Obviously, the formidable combination, Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien from Anmart, $4.33. Map of Stars, $5. Ombudsman is $6.50. See the Fire, $7. And you're out to Factor Chevelle, $15 and longer the rest. Stu, any thoughts on this race? Los Angeles was really tough last start. He led, he won. Anmart headed him and he fought back. It was a brave win. But what do you think?
Do you know what it rated?
I can try and get it up.
Out of curiosity. Yeah, it was a tough win. He's a deserving favourite. I think the Godolphin horse Ombudsman, though, is probably the one that's a little bit deadly here. And is Royal Champion accepted? So it brings a little bit of Australian.
Yeah, but he's a big price. He's nearly 70-1.
Yeah, okay. So I'm still not just going to discount Royal Champion because he's clearly got some ability. When he went back overseas, he started to pull his finger out a little bit. So he didn't do much in Australia, but at sort of 70s or maybe hundreds late on Betfair, you could throw a little bit of a peanut on. But I think Los Angeles deserves to be favourite, but this Ombudsman seems to be the horse on the up and could be a little bit deadly, I reckon, in this race.
Yeah. I don't really have a strong lean in this. Los Angeles, he's a tough horse. He's a very, very good horse, and I was impressed by what he did last time. Whether he's potentially looking for further than 2,000 metres now is probably questionable. Anmart's probably got more straight line speed and more of a turn of foot than him, but he just simply out-toughed him last time. So it's interesting. Trainer Van Maarten has come out and said prior that they're a little bit wary of really firm ground, and we're going to get really firm ground. So I don't know whether that's just something you want to factor into your calculations. This has been a good race to lead and win in previous times. We think of Love 2021, State of Rest led in 2022. Auguste Radam was a free-rolling sort of horse as well. So often with these small fields, the dictator just sort of goes out in front and does what he likes, and that's what Los Angeles is going to do. Map of Stars brings over the French form. He's been really, really impressive as well, obviously, by See the Stars. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit hard to line these up. Los Angeles rated to 124 Racing Post last time. That's what you're asking for.
There you go. That's a pretty decent rating.
Yeah, deserves to be favourite, but it's probably not a race I'm going to be betting into.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is I think if you do want to have a bit more of a lean on some, maybe a little bit more, not that Benny and I aren't experts, but usually on Betfair you'll get like Adam Blenko stuff through Racing and Sports and stuff every night, like every day it'll be up there. So there's maybe...
Yeah, and Rory Flanagan as well. We'll probably do Betfair tipping. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't have a big opinion or lean in that race, but I think at sort of $5, I'll probably just play something on Ombudsman in that race, and maybe, again, a little taste on Royal Champion at hundreds.
Yep. All right. Night 4, Ascot Gold Cup. They go 4,000 metres here, Stu. When's the last time you ran 4,000 metres?
I would have told people I would have run it in my footy days when I was about 18, 19, 20, and I wouldn't have run it anyway. So not for a long time, maybe a 3K, but 4,000, not a hope in hell, Benny.
Yeah. So obviously this race was made famous by Yates. Won this race 4 times in a row, 2006 to 2009. In more recent times, we've had Stradivarius go back to back to back, 2018, 2019, 2020. And this has also been a race that Ryan Moore has been able to get a couple of wins in as well. Order of St. George dating back to 2016. We saw him come and contest Melbourne Cups. Trip to Paris also came for the Melbourne Cup 2015. And Kyprios, who was recently retired, won in 2022 and 2024. So
Kyprios was a horse. Jeezy was a horse.
Yeah. And I think he was probably a shade of odds on in the all-in market before he got retired. So
yeah,
he was set to start a short price favorite yet again. But nonetheless, Aidan O'Brien still has the favorite with Illinois, $2.50 with Bet365 from Trawlman, $4. Candelari, $4.50. Sweet William, $7. And Jan Brugel, after the last start impressive win, he was Melbourne Cup favourite last year before coming out, is $11.
Mm.
What do you make of these?
I know you've got a much firmer opinion. I was really impressed with Jan Brugel's win last start. And at the price, I'm just going to have a small play on him. So, yeah, I just... thought it was just a really impressive win. Obviously, the change complexion with Kyprios coming out. But Aidan O'Brien was pretty adamant after that, if you saw that post-race interview, that he would have won the Melbourne Cup if he was allowed to race. Yeah. We'll never know if there was some serious issues there or not, I guess. But he has gone back there and seems to be killing it. And he's a pretty impressive horse on the up. If he stays the 4,000, like, he's going to be in it, I reckon, for a long way. And it $10 or $11, I think it's worth a play.
Yeah. Yeah, you raised some good points there. He beat Calandigan, who's, I think he's a 4-time Group 1 runner-up. Mm. He is one of the better horses in the world, despite not quite getting that Group 1 on the board just yet.
And he beat him well too. Like, it wasn't like he only just...
Yeah, he fought back and won well. He was holding him on the line. It was over 2,400 metres. It's worth noting a further 7 lengths back in third was Gio Velotto, who won the Hong Kong Vase in December. he does have to extend that form out to 4,000 meters. It's just one of those things. I don't think you'll know until you know.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's why at $4, I got $5 earlier today. What I do know is that Trawlerman will stay the distance. This is a horse that ran Kyprios to a length in this very race last year. He's a horse that has beaten Kyprios at Ascot, not at Royal Ascot, but he has beaten him at Ascot before. Go back and watch that replay. Kyprios, Ryan Moore hits the go button at the 400, goes past him, and then Frankie Dettori just peels off his back and finds again. That was an incredible race. And this is an incredible horse who I think will just go to the front and run them into the ground. The danger is Illinois and Candelari, whether they're potentially got a bigger final 800 meters in store, they could just be these brilliant horses on the up, and if they stay, then they might be too good for him. But Trawlerman is just the workhorse who is reliable. You know he's going to stay. He has won last start over 2 miles. He beat Coltrane by 5 or 6 lengths. It's the perfect lead up, and I'm just happy to have him on top. But
yeah, I could come with on Trawlerman off your push there, and have a little spec bet on John Brugel.
Yeah, I think the hole in the market is probably Sweet William, even though he did split Kyprios and Trawlerman a couple of starts back. Trawlerman ran third. I just think that Trawlerman proved last year that he's the better stayer out to these real extended journeys. And I don't know, I just thought he should be a little bit shorter, Trawlerman. Illinois, we haven't really spoken about. He's a real stayer on the up. But yet again, he's just got to extend his form another 800,000 meters. Candelari, he's the exciting one from France, arguably should be unbeaten, and he could come out and go whack as well. But yeah, what I do know is that Trawlerman will stay, so that's who I'm happy to have my best result on.
Yeah, I think Illinois is a bit short at 240.
And yet again, this could just be a byproduct of being Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien, the fact that Kyprios came out, he was retired. So once Kyprios came out and all the murmurs came through that he was going to be retired, people just started smashing Illinois because they knew Ryan Moore was going to be riding. And even I've had something on Illinois at a slightly bigger price, but I'd probably agree that he's short enough now, at $2.30, $2.50.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Two more races?
Two more, yep.
Two more. The Coronation Stakes, Saturday night. Or was it Friday night? Friday night, and it's after, yeah, it's 1:20 a.m.
Yeah.
On the Saturday, yeah, but it's Friday night. Zaragana is $2.37 favorite from Falakea, $4.33. Kentucky, $5.50. Exactly is $6.50. Chantilly Lace is $13 and Flight $15. So this is a race where Lake Victoria was the favorite, the longtime favorite, but she has since come out, and there's been a few that have paid up and substituted in. Stu, did you manage to get on our tip early?
Not for this race, but I am going to be backing. I think it's one of the better bets with Field of Gold,
yep,
on the Royal Ascot Carnival. Our little mate, Bot, when we were speaking about this horse, made the comment, I sort of alluded to it earlier, that he thinks it could win the Arc or will win the Arc, and that's the favourite, Zaragana. It was pretty impressive when it won last start, and I took a bit of 17s in the Arc that it was sitting at, so I've had a little bit of a play there. But, look, I don't think we're going to get anything massive. It's probably going to be, odds on. I don't think it'll go. It might go into odds on. Maybe we'll get even money a little bit, touch better. But it's going to be short enough. But I think, yeah, you just back it, and it should be winning.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. This is outside Field of Gold, this is probably my second best bet of the entire carnival, Zarragana, and we have taken $4.50 all in. So that's going to look a very good price come Friday night, I would have thought. A few horses have supplemented in for this race. One of those is the now second favourite, Falaika. It's done a good job to win last start, and it has looked impressive, but I just doubt that anything is going to be as strong as Zarragana coming into this. So what it did last start, winning the 1,000 guineas over in France, it obviously won on protest. She's Perfect rolled out. But I think it was a fair result in the end. She's Perfect did take its right line, and I think without that interference, Zarragana wins. She has the stride of a very, very good horse. If you just watch her, she just has that action of a very good horse. And she's just another Aga Khan product who looks a good one. They won this race a couple of years ago with Tahira, and I think they can do it yet again. I think Ryan will ride exactly. She's a horse who wasn't far away in that very same race, but I just think Zarragana's got more gears and might just upstage her again.
Yep.
Happy to move on?
Yeah, man. Yep. I don't have anything further to add on that race.
All right. Let's move on to the last race of the carnival. Oh, it won't be the last of the actual carnival, but it's the last race of interest. It's the Group 1 over 1,200 metres. Lazat is $4 favourite on Bet365 from Inisherin, $6. Stormboy, $6.50. Satono Reeve, the Japanese horse, is $7.50. Top Gear, $9. Kind of Blue, $11. And Believing, if she backs up, she's $13. Stu, we're very keen on two horses here.
Oh, mate, I cannot believe the price we are getting. So when these markets opened, I think people have worked out that you and I are pretty well horse racing fanatics at this point. And when these markets opened up, I messaged you straight away and I said, check these prices out. And you're like, oh, my God. So we've got on. We're talking of two horses, Lazat and Satono Reeve. So I actually think Satono Reeve is the one to beat and the better bet. Somehow we got $12, and then I went again at $8.50, and I still think the $7.50 is crazy overs. So it's got Car Ying Rising form, number one, and we all know Car Ying Rising, world's best horse, rated-wise, performance-wise, visually. He's coming for the Everest, and he not only beat Helios Express, and Helios Express has franked that form with his ridiculous win last start where he's last off the turn, but Satono Reeve has also, off that Car Ying Rising form, won a Group 1 in Japan by I think two or three lengths, and I think Joe Moreira rode him from memory, and he's won on soft ground. Now he's not got soft ground, but he's a Japanese horse, so he's got fast ground. So yeah, I can't believe he's not much, much shorter in the market. I don't know what they haven't seen. Obviously, the UK people don't respect that form. I don't know. And then the other one's Lazat. So Golden Eagle form, he was super unlucky. We backed him in that, if you remember that, Benny. I think we took like 13s or 14s or something. He sat three wide and only was beaten by Lake Forest, sort of bombed on the line. But then he's gone back overseas and won a sprint race in France. It was, I don't know if it's a Group 1. Was it a Group 1? He won up about five lengths. And we got $6.50 about him. I think you might have even got a little bit longer than me on that. But, yeah, and I've gone again at $4.40 because I think both of them should be, like, you could mark them much more aggressive, I think, in that field. Especially when you've got a horse like Storm Boy who's taking up, What is he, 550, 650 Storm Boy?
Yeah, yeah. Incredible.
So these two horses, I've staked them hard, and they are, whatever happens in between doesn't matter for me, because if one of these two horses win, I'll be winning on Royal Ascot. That's just the way I've played it. So, yeah, I can't see the winner coming out of anything other than Lazat or Setono Rave in this particular race. So, yeah, that's my opinion. You go from there.
Yeah, so the prices I've got are $8.50 for Lazat and $12 for Setono Rave. Very good prices, obviously. Don't need a genius to tell you that. But Setono Rave, look, I probably don't need to add too much on what you've already said. He is Japan's best sprinter right now. He's proven that with placings twice behind Kai and Rising. One time he ran third, the other time he ran second behind the great sprinter. Obviously, Helios Express tires all that great form in. He's a horse who got back to last time and still rattled off these freakish sectionals to get up and win. It's the best sprinting form in the world right now, and he is probably still over the odds. So it's Setono Rave, I would have thought. You can still get each way odds, $7 out there. Yeah. So,
I think it's crazy still.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree. He's probably close to on top for me, but Lazat, it was only a listed race I'm looking at now that he won last time at Shanty, but he did space them by 5.5 lengths, and it is worth noting that that was a straight 1,200 metres. This is a straight 1,200 metres again. He's going to go straight to the front, and he's going to be mighty hard to run down. I don't think there's any world beaters here. Anishinaabeg is probably the only other danger. So really, I've got this a race in three. Storm Boy has just got to be the hole in the market at 650. He would have to improve lengths and lengths to even get near these. And we've seen that he hasn't really improved since his two-year-old, three-year-old year.
Yeah, yep. And there's a bit of a joke going around in the den at the moment that we've got a few Carging Rising haters who say, oh, Helios Express and Setono Rave would be 200-1 in the Everest. And I'm obviously dead against that. But Storm Boy against Carging Rising would be 200-1. Like, I think he'll improve off just the Aidan O'Brien stuff. But, oh, God, what a training performance if Storm Boy could come out and knock off Lazat and Setono Rave. But I can't see it happening.
No, I can't see it happening. But stranger things have happened. The last 2 years, this race has been won by Cardam, who got up at a very big price last year. But before that, it has been a race for good horses. Obviously, Black Caviar won this in 2012. Luke Nolan famously dropped his hands and nearly lost the race. I know she was injured, but that's a race that obviously sticks in Australian minds very well.
Blue Point, what a horse.
Blue Point was an absolute superstar.
Freak. Yeah.
He was one of the only ones to win the Kingstand.
Did the double, yeah.
He did the double, 2019. Merchant Navy, a Coolmore Stud Stakes winner. He went over there and won in 2018 as well. So it's been a race for good horses, and I reckon we found two of them.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Any other commentary? What nights are you going to be staying up? You know, you've all got your all of them. You've got a young family at home.
They're with the ex, mate. So I'll be up. I won't miss any of this. I love it every year. I'll be up. But my only other comment were, you guys always do a podcast multi, so why don't we do one? And I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I know what it's going to be.
Field of Gold, Zaragana, and Setono Rave, and you're getting 32, and then also take it with Lazat, and you're getting 17. What do you reckon?
Beautiful. I'm happy with that. You could always take just the double as well, but
what's the double paying of just the two? $5, something like that, $4 or $5.
What are we, 1.8 into, let's say, 2.4? It's about $4.30. Take the treble. Why not?
Yeah, take both. Oh, honestly, I can't see, I just can't see one of Lazat or Setono not winning that race.
Yeah.
They just look deadly. And like I said, even though I'll be backing, a few others, Spec Bets and Field of Gold, I'll have a crack at and Zaragana. It won't matter for me if Lazat or Setono win because I'll be winning for the whole carnival with the way I've staked them, typical Stew fashion.
Sweet. So we'll wrap it up there. I'm probably going to be staying up on definitely Tuesday night, definitely tomorrow night, and likely Saturday night. I won't be able to do the Friday night because I've got football on Saturday. So I've got to get some good shut eye. But yeah, really looking forward to this Royal Ascot Carnival. Obviously, there's heaps of Australian interest. We've got Carl Spackler going around in the Queen Anne. He's bound for Australian shores. He's already got Kieran Maher next to his name, Jay McDonald, and he dons the Yulong silks for the first time. As Fura, we wish her well. I'm a little bit skeptical, but nonetheless, we're fully behind her. And if she goes back to back, then gee, it just shows how bad those sprinters are, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, considering she got cowed up here in Adelaide, and I don't rate much of Adelaide's form, as you know, so I don't think anyone really does in Australia rate Adelaide's superior sprinting form.
Yeah.
So just to recap, for anyone out there who's just interested in the Aussies, you got the Aussie connections, Lake Forest, you got Lazat, Satono Reeve.
Ran fifth in the Cox Plate last year.
Yep. Satono Reeve has got the Carling Rising form, obviously Asfora, Stormboy, Docklands, Royal Champion, and Carl Spackler, who's going to be over here. I think I captured all of them. I wrote them all down.
Yeah.
I don't think I missed any, but you've got nearly, 10 or so horses that most people, if they've never seen this before, should be able to pick the eyes out of them and go, oh, I know that horse from Australia.
Yeah, and you might have the case where a couple Australian trainers after the carnival or during the carnival, you hear that, oh, they've bought into this horse and they're coming to Australia. So just keep your eyes sort of peeled for that stuff, because while we have mentioned a few of them, there's bound to be more, just because, let's be honest, the prize money here in Australia is very lucrative and a lot of these trainers are cashed up. So they're happy to spend, and over in England, a lot of them are happy to sell. So,
and that's probably the only other thing too that we didn't really touch on is J-Max over there and also Mark Zara. Is that right?
Yep. Zara's riding Docklands. Yep.
Yep. And J-Max riding Carl Spackler. And they might have a few other rides throughout the night as well.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they do, but they might. So, yeah, is there any other Australian jockeys that went over or just J-Mac and Zara? Not sure. Is Frosty coming over from Japan to go ride anything? No?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, haven't heard. J-Mac will have actually quite a few good rides because he has signed on with Wathnan Racing.
Okay.
They're the owners who won the Gold Cup a couple of years ago with Karaj Monami. So,
that's the light blue silks, red sleeves.
Yeah, the blue, gold, and red.
Blue, yeah.
So he'll be riding a bit for them. So,
okay.
Yeah, he should have a decent little book.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet.
All right.
Wicked. Bang on time. 45 minutes. Perfect.
Yeah, we've kept it to 45. No questions because I wasn't sure if this was going to be racing previews or not, but I'm happy to chuck it up. Obviously, we're not going to pretend we know exactly what we're talking about when it comes to international racing, but hopefully that was a decent listen and we can get a few winners nonetheless.
Fingers crossed, brother. No worries. Anytime. And let's go watch some Royal Ascot tomorrow night.
Cheers, punters. We'll be back here.
Before we sign off, State of Origin, who's winning Wednesday night?
New South Wales are too good this year.
Where is it? Is it in New South Wales this leg?
We'll
have a clue.
I forget. Or
it's not in Melbourne, is it?
I forget. But New South Wales played a terrible first game and they still won easily. So, like, not terrible, but they didn't play their best and they still won convincingly. So, I just think they've got a better team this year.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That hurts me to say because I'm quite.
That'll be good, though, because you get to watch State of Origin this week and Royal Ascot. How good.
Yeah, how good. All right. We'll be back with our normal podcast on Thursday night, punters. So, tune in for that.
See you, bro.